Hi, welcome to The Bridge Podcasts. We hope you enjoy the following message. For more information on all that's happening at The Bridge Church, please visit www.bridge-church.com.
Father, we just thank you for this word tonight. Father, we thank you that it will help all of us to understand how gracious and how powerful you are, what you're doing right now through us, through the church. And Father, help me communicate that which is on your heart tonight, Lord, with accuracy, and that will bring such attention to your goodness, Lord, for we ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said amen. I think I'll take this jacket off. It's pretty warm in here. It's good. There we go. Hallelujah. All right. So this morning, we looked at the subject of speaking. Tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to take it up a little bit of a notch and look at something else which is related to that, but it's even better than that. You know, they tell us that when God created the universe, he spoke it. We know that, but they actually said that he sung it. And so singing is part and parcel of the fabric of the entire universe. And so singing was obviously important to God and is important to God, and it's got to be important to us. So when we look at speaking, there's a difference between speaking and singing. Speaking is just words. Singing is when there's a flow of words. And so there's something more dynamic takes place when you sing as opposed to when you speak. Speaking is powerful and you'll get massive results, but when you sing, there is something even more dynamic and more powerful that takes place when you start to sing stuff. So we're going to have a wee look tonight at the power of this. And, you know, often just when I'm doing worship conferences, I speak to people about, you know, the fact that King David, when he set up the Tabernacle of David, he set it up in Jerusalem, just a little tent. And God's presence was in that tent. And so what they did was they sung basically for 40 years. And they didn't stop singing. Can you imagine that? And so Jerusalem is the most concentrated spot where God has ever been and where there was a response to God. And that response to God was basically singing. They set up 4,000 musicians, did round the clock, 24 hours around the clock. And so the whole idea was this, the concept that David got way back then, that the church still hasn't got, is basically God says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to hang around here as long as you sing. And David says, as long as you're here, we're going to sing. Amen? And so there's something, and I'm going to show it to you tonight from Scripture. There's something very powerful about singing that the enemy doesn't want you and I to get. He will do everything he can to stop you and I from singing, even if it's just melody in your heart to the Lord. So before you leave tonight, you're going to know the power that there is, even in a melody in your heart to the Lord, even in the deepest, darkest hours. When you start to sing, something incredible happens. When you start to sing, because God's voice has penetrated the entire universe, every subatomic particle is attuned to the singing voice of God. Amen. So when you start to sing, you affect the universe. If you get into quantum tunneling or this kind of stuff, you know, everything's connected. Amen? And so God's voice is in the universe there. And when you start to sing, you try and understand what I'm saying. You're not going to change anything out there in space. But in terms of the universe, the power, the magnitude, the scope of your voice in response to God's voice. Because see, what really praising and singing is you're responding to the fact that he was the first one that spoke, that sung. So you're singing because he sung. Amen? I'm going to show you what happens when you get that revelation tonight. Something profound actually happens. So let me read this to you. God is a singer. I don't know if you know that. I've just said that to you, but let me prove it to you from Scripture. Don't turn there. It says in Deuteronomy 31, verse 19, it says, "Now therefore write down this song for yourself and teach it to the children of Israel." This is God speaking. "Put it in their mouths that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel." So God actually taught Moses a song. He taught him to sing. God is a singer. God has the same problem as David has, in a sense that David couldn't stop singing and his group couldn't stop singing for 40 years. God just doesn't stop singing. God is so excited about you. We need to get this, man. God is so excited about you, he hasn't stopped singing since you were created regarding you. And so the more people that come into this world that get born again, what actually happens is they initiate a song in the heart of Almighty God. Oh, hallelujah. Because of what Jesus has done for you, when anybody comes into the kingdom, it initiates another song in the heart of God for that person who's come into the kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. So the whole church is saturated, in a sense, with it. Is this okay? This is not too weird. The whole church is saturated with the voice of singing from God because of what his son has done for you. Oh, hallelujah. What I'm trying to say is there's a song in you. There's a song that surrounds you, and it's the song of the Lord. Let me read this to you just to show you. In Zephaniah 3:17, I'm going to read you this in an expanded translation. Just grasp a hold of this as we lay a foundation tonight, because it's profound what we're going to cover tonight. But in Zephaniah 3:17, it says, "The Lord thy God in the midst," he's talking about you, "in the midst, the nearest or the center part of you is mighty. He's a powerful warrior. He will save, he will set free, he will deliver, he will rejoice, he will be bright, he will be radiant, he will be joyful over you with joy that is exceeding gladness. He will rest in his love, he will joy, he will spin around rejoicing over you with singing," that is triumphant sounds and shouts. I'm talking about God singing over you. Come on now, somebody help me here. God is so excited about you, he sings. I want you to grasp this. God is so excited about you, he sings. I should get more amens than that. You know, God is so excited about you, he sings. Are you getting that? You are somebody. You know, it's great when you get the praises of your mom and dad or something like that. You do something good, you got a tap on your head. Oh, well done, Johnny. Well done, son. That's great. But when God starts to rejoice over you, come on, man, that is something else. That means that you are never alone. When you come into the kingdom of God, when you get born again, there's a song that God starts over you that never, ever stops. God will never stop singing over you, about you. Ever. Amen. It's powerful. He's in the midst of you. He's excited about you. There's a shout of a king in the midst of us. There's a song of a king in the midst of us. Hallelujah. I mean, it's good to have someone on your side to fight for you, isn't it? But imagine God. Imagine God, from God's perspective, the victory in your life is so complete. God says, I'm going to sing about it. Whether he or she picks it up or not, I'm going to start singing about the incredible victory that is theirs if only they will get a hold of it. That's why sometimes when you feel down and you feel out and there's just, you know, it's just like there's nowhere to go, all of a sudden something starts to spring up. There's a wee song, there's a melody. Release that thing. Don't let that thing go. That's where that's coming from, is the Spirit of Almighty God. There's always, but always, say this, there's always a song in my heart. Because there's a singing God in my heart. You didn't have to say that, but that's good. Amen? That's pretty exciting. This is who we serve. This is not Mickey Mouse land, this kingdom of God stuff. This is not just, well, we come into the kingdom and hallelujah, we'll go to heaven one day. It's much bigger than that. It's much more powerful than that. Because we're going to start to see just now what happens when we get two of us singing. Hallelujah. So God is a singer. Triumphant sounds. God is joyful over you. But then it says in Psalm 22 that Jesus is a singer. Did you know that? You know when Jesus was on the cross? Psalm 22 is brought into, it's from Psalm 22, but it's brought out in Hebrews 2:12. It says, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. So Jesus is a singer. When Jesus was on the cross, he was thinking about you and he was singing about you. Thanks for your enthusiasm. Appreciate that. Jesus is a singer. This is massive. If you grasp this tonight, it'll change your life forever. So Jesus actually sings with us. When you start to sing, man, when you start to sing, what the devil hears is not you singing solo. What the devil starts to hear is a voice. It's another voice. What is this voice I hear? There's some other voice that I'm hearing. It's not only Tom singing. There's another voice mixed with that. That is the voice of Jesus. In other words, if you've got to know this stuff, but otherwise you think you're singing solo, man. But he's in the midst of the congregation. So whenever you lift your voice to the Most High God, God is always there. Jesus is always there to sing with you. It drives the devil crazy because in that is the victory. When you know you're not singing alone, that's what the devil would love you to know, that you're just out there, man. You're on your own. Poor old me, as it were, just singing, trying to get through this thing. No, you're not singing on your own. God is singing with you. Jesus Christ is singing along with you. Hallelujah. It's a mystery. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, but he sings on the earth with you. His voice unites us when we praise. There are no geographical boundaries. There's nothing in the spirit realm that separates the voice of you and the voice of Jesus mixed with you. That is a powerful concept. In other words, when the devil hears you sing, the voice of Jesus is mixed with that sound. Oh, hallelujah. It's interesting, one of the last things that Jesus did before he went to the cross, he prayed with his disciples, and actually he sung with his disciples. He prayed with them and they fell asleep in the garden, but he actually sung with his disciples and they sang with him. And so that was the last thing that he did with them, where there was any unity. They must have said, man, do you remember what happened? I wish we would not have fallen asleep. We fell asleep, but remember what happened. Remember how Jesus was singing in their midst. That was the very last thing that there was any unity, is when they sung together. Not even prayer, but it was singing together. So the singing voice of Jesus must have been something that they said, wow, remember how we sang together. He was with us when we sang. Jesus prays in heaven for us. This is interesting. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the... This is really interesting stuff. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father interceding for you in heaven, but on earth he sings with you. So he prays in heaven for you. He sings on earth with you. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. So the presence Jesus is with your singing voice, is with your worship, is with your praise. Amen. That's going to help us. That's going to help us get through life. The singing Jesus. So it's time to sing. The Bible says it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. Come into his presence with singing. The Bible says all this kind of stuff. Come into his presence with singing. So God basically says this, you know, get a revelation that my presence never leaves you. And if you get that revelation, you'll continually sing. Doesn't matter what you're going through. Amen. And remember this, don't ever forget this from tonight. Whenever you sing, Your song is mixed with Jesus' voice. It's pretty scary for the devil. Amen. Because I'll tell you why. Even if you're just croaking out something, you know, you're just, oh God, I'm even when I'm in pain, God, I'm in the darkest hour, things are not going right for me, you know, and this is not happening, and that's not. But you will get some kind of voice. You will get some kind of song out. You need to know in the midst of that how difficult it may be. That what the devil actually hears is not only you creaking that thing out, you know, in your deepest pain, but he hears the voice of Jesus in the midst of that. And in that voice, there is victory. There is victory. It doesn't matter how down you are. You can get something out. Not thinking victory, but singing it. Hallelujah. But singing it. Is this making sense? All right, let's look at it a little bit. So what happens then? What happens when you start to sing, the Holy Spirit gets involved as well. So what we actually start to see is the Trinity is involved in singing. Not only Jesus, but the Holy Spirit. As soon as you start to sing, the Holy Spirit is involved as well. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I'm going to go there. Maybe we should go there. 2 Chronicles 20. We doing all right? 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Let's just go here quickly. The armies of King Jehoshaphat are coming against them. They come to this place where in the natural, they're going to be killed. They're going to be slaughtered. And so what do? They say, well, you know, we seek God, we fast, we pray, we do all this kind of stuff. And then it says there that they started to sing. They started to sing. 2 Chronicles 20, let's read it from verse 20 to 22. It says, so they rose up early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when they had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing. Let's sing. But we're surrounded by enemies, but let's sing. Who's going to sing? Some of them put their hand up. Not you, but who's going to sing? Amen. And they started to sing. Now watch what happens. They should sing to the Lord, and those should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army, they were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Now when they began to sing, they just begun to sing. And if you've gone through Psalm 80, you've probably gone through this. When they just started to sing. And as soon as they started to sing, God sent ambushments against the enemy. It was very fast. Oh, hallelujah. Get that scripture. It was very fast. It wasn't slow. God says, just start to sing. All you have to do is to start to sing. So there's a voice of Jesus in that song. Amen. What singing does is singing initiates things. I want to show you something. Singing opens up things that were previously closed. Amen. And so in this situation, these guys needed an opening. They needed something to set them free from the enemy. So they started to sing, and the Holy Spirit says, that's enough. And they sent ambushments against the enemy, and they were slain. And the Bible says, not one of them survived. It was a complete and total annihilation from God's point of view. Why? But why? They were outnumbered in the natural. There was nothing natural about this. It was totally supernatural. And what did they have to do? All they had to do was sing, praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Right now, what we need is, we need God's mercy, so we're going to praise him for it. Praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord, for his mercy. That's enough. You only have to start to sing. And the Holy Ghost is right there, hallelujah, bringing victory. The devil is scared when you sing and when you have revelation that there's a singing Jesus in your midst and there's a Holy Spirit that is about to act as soon as you start to sing. I've pulled myself out of my bed at times when I've been down. I've pulled myself out of bed and I've started to dance and started to sing, and I know there's power in it. I know this scripture. I know these scriptures. I've pulled myself out of bed and I've been feeling terrible and I'll start to sing. And I'm thinking, it's not going to be very long. In fact, it's happening right now. As soon as I start to sing, boom, boom. There's another voice in this. There's another voice in this. It's God. It's God's voice that's in this song. It might only be little old Tom and I'm nobody any important, but when I sing, I know that God will sing, because God says, that's my boy. I paid the ultimate price for him. And as soon as he starts singing to me, then I'm going to get involved. There's no way I'm going to step back and see him just stay like that. There's no way. As soon as he starts to sing, it doesn't have to be very much, just a little melody in your heart. Then God says, I'm with you, boy. We're singing together. Amen. Hallelujah. When you start to sing, the Holy Spirit starts to flow with his power against your circumstances. I love this story with Paul and Silas in the jailhouse. You know the story in Acts chapter 15, 16? And it says there, so there they were in jail, thrown in jail. You know, and sometimes you wonder, you know, you're doing stuff for God, you're going through, you're doing your best. You're doing your best, and all this stuff comes against you. Persecution and stuff. There's unrighteous stuff. You should never be in that position. But we do go through things. And here these guys were. I mean, they're preaching the gospel, Paul and Silas, and they end up in jail. They were chained there, and there was rats running all over the place, and they were in pain. They were probably bleeding and wondering, what are we going to do now? Can you imagine Silas saying to Paul, Silas, what are we going to do? Paul, what are we going to do now? What can we do now? What are we going to do? Look at this. How did we end up here? And so Paul says, you know what? I just remembered. There's something I read in the scripture. I read over there in scripture that what we have to do is we have to start to sing. Sing what? Sing what's already been written. This is very powerful. So he started to sing, praise the Lord. Let me read it to you from scripture. It says there, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing. It was midnight, and they were singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake. They started singing, and suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loose. It happened at midnight. But Paul got revelation of that from Psalm 119, verse 116. You don't have to go there, but it's over there. And so Paul says basically to Silas, you know what? I've already read something. Let's sing what's already been written. Amen. Let's just not make up another song. Let's sing what's already been written. What was written? It says over there in the Psalms, at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. He says, this stuff has already been done. We're going to sing what's already been done. Why don't we bring what's already been spoken, bring it into the now, so we get the same results as what's already been spoken. Come on now. So in other words, whatever's already been spoken, if God has spoken about you, when you start to sing that, you're bringing that reality into the now. There's no time in God. So when you start to sing about your healing, for example, by Jesus' stripes you were healed. Amen. It's as if, watch this now, there's no time in the spirit. It's as if Jesus has been whipped on the cross for you at that instant. Amen. So you start to sing and you start to praise. You're bringing that thing into the present. Oh, hallelujah. It's not a historical fact anymore. Your singing voice is bringing it into the now. It's as if he's been whipped at that very instant for you, right there, right now. Everything is in the now. That's why God reacts in the now to the singing voice. He doesn't say, wait, as soon as you start to sing victory, as soon as you start, and it might only be just a melody, a little melody in your heart because you've been struggling or whatever. As soon as you start to sing, I want you to know this and never forget it. The victory is already yours. It might take a little time, but the victory is already yours. Hallelujah. Amen. Heaven is filled with singing. In fact, the seals, you know, the seals were opened up through worship. Things that were closed, if you read this in the book of Revelation, as soon as they started to worship God, the seals that could not be opened were opened up. And this has still got to happen. And that's how, so singing opens up things that were closed, impossible things that were closed. And we just think singing is something we do 20 minutes before somebody preaches. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know you don't, you know, but a lot of people do. Let's just, you know, give it a wee shot before that'll please God. It's so far removed from that. It's to do with activating in a sense. And, you know, that's just the way God has done it. You might say, well, why God just doesn't God just do it for me without me having to be involved? God says, no, I'm looking for agreement. Like the spoken word that we heard this morning, the singing voice is exactly the same thing. The highest expression of faith is your singing voice. Because you're not just speaking it anymore, you're singing it. The singing is where the victory is. Every song that you sing to God is a song of victory. He says he surrounds us with songs of deliverance. Every song you sing is a song of victory. Hallelujah. The Psalms, we're all singing Psalms. It says in Psalm 47, verse 7, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. Have an understanding of what you're singing. Have an understanding of what's going on when you sing. It's powerful. And it'll set you free. Then you go to the New Testament, and it says the same thing. It basically says, you know, when you sing, you make melody in your heart to the Lord. All it has to be is a melody in your heart to the Lord. It doesn't even have to be. But a melody that is in your heart, Pastor said it tonight, that it's the heart condition that's important. You get a melody in your heart, you let that thing spring up, something is going to happen. Now, I want to talk to you very quickly before we close about something that is very powerful. There's a lot of confusion about it, a lot of misunderstanding about it, and it's something called the high praises of God. The high praises of God is an expression that worshippers would be familiar with. I'm reading from my notes here. It's a warring sound of praise. It seems to be an accurate expression of high praise, but its meaning is discovered in the Hebrew word used for high praise in the following scripture. Listen to this. It says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Let me tell you what this is. This is a powerful revelation. Everything works by revelation, understanding of God's word. So when it talks about the high praises of God in your mouth and a two-edged sword, and you know, high praise of God in your mouth and a two-edged sword in your hand, does it say? What it means is the high praises is nothing to do with a style of praise. It's got nothing to do with music. What this high praises is, it's a special word, and I can't even pronounce it, and I'll try Romoth or Romeoth or whatever it is, but it's a word in the Hebrew that means this. It means to lift God up in song to the highest place above every other God. Amen. It means that you've extended your singing voice, raising him higher than any god of sickness that would try and come against you. It means to praise God above all powers, above all principalities, above all circumstances, because of who he is and what he has done. It's the kind of praise that actually reduces the enemy to his actual status in comparison to the great God that you serve. This is the kind of praise I'm talking about. It puts him in the status that he actually is in. It's basically saying, you're nothing. It says, for all the gods of the peoples are idols, the Bible says in Psalm 96.5. For all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens and earth. The Message translation says there that the pagan gods are mere tatters and rags. The Hebrew meaning of the word idols means worthless and weak, a multitude of zeros. Come on now. So this praise, what this praise does is this praise says, God, I know who you are. You are far above every other god. We're not even talking here competition. We're not even talking about fighting. It's crazy. It's like the heavyweight champion of the world against a two-year-old boy. There is no competition. This kind of praise actually says, I know who you are, God. I know who you are. And I'm going to put you where you belong and put the enemy where he belongs. This kind of singing, this kind of worship separates the status between God Almighty and the devil, who's a multitude of zeros. Hallelujah. Amen. And when the enemy hears that kind of song, it puts them in that position. What is that position? That position is a helpless position. It is a powerless position. We might think we have to go through 16 weeks of prayer and intercession and all this kind of stuff. If God leads you that way, that's great. But when you start to sing with understanding this kind of stuff, you don't have to go through all of that. What you do is you maintain a melody in your heart to the Lord all the time. So you maintain the status. You maintain the status of the greatness of God in your life and the powerlessness of Satan in and around you. You keep the status quo. He's big and he's nothing. He's big and he's nothing. Through praise, through singing. Amen. It's as easy as that, and yet not easy sometimes, because when you least feel like it, that's when God wants it done. You know, next time you feel trouble, next time you feel pressure, I want you to remember these principles. I want you to remember these principles. You don't have to run necessarily to the pastor or run to... In fact, I felt a word stirring for the church when I sat down tonight. And I'm just going to say it because it's come back to me again. And it's this, that God is going to raise up this work to be a strong, strong people of understanding of the principles of God's word. And from that, power is going to be released. I sought a strong understanding of God's word. And from that, the power will be released. Hallelujah. A strong understanding of God's word. And from that, the power will be released. I'm not talking about power just here in the church. I'm talking about power wherever you are. Remember, singing will open up things. Do you know that singing can open up your destiny? If you don't sing, your destiny will never really be opened up. But there's nothing that God will withhold from you when you start to sing about him. And you start to put the enemy where he belongs. He's nothing but a multitude of zeros. But you and I have to know that. And you and I have to sing that. Amen. Would the band come up tonight? And I want us to just to start singing, but we're not going to go crazy. We're going to do this thoughtfully. There was a couple of songs I noticed tonight talked about singing. Don't know if you picked it up. But when I saw those lyrics, I knew this was the message I had to speak on tonight because I wasn't quite sure. But as soon as I saw the two songs that were about singing to God, I knew this was the thing that we got to do. What we're going to do now is this. David can lead us, and we're just going to sing in the Spirit. And as we start to sing in the Spirit, I want the Holy Spirit just to allow this revelation to hit you. Just so strong. So we're not going to go crazy and shout and scream and try and be loud. We're just going to start to worship the Lord and sing to him and let the Holy Spirit begin to do something right now. Give you revelation of what I've just been saying from the Word of God, and then allow the Holy Spirit to start to work now, tonight, in your life and your circumstances. Can we do that tonight? Let's stand as we worship Him. Where's that microphone? I'll just... Thanks, Pastor. Thank you, Lord. Just worship Him. Just see Him as a great and mighty and all-powerful God. Give us revelation, God, of how great You are. Give us revelation, God. Thank You, Jesus, for singing with us, Lord.
Thanks for listening. Remember to visit our website, www.bridge-church.com, and connect with us via Facebook and Twitter.